Well, good morning, everybody. Gosh, there's a lot of you out there, isn't there? Last month, in the month of, where are we? March, April. In April, Neville spoke on love in action as it applies to small groups here. And then Ross gave a powerful message. I thought it was a powerful message with a lot of good reasons to belong to a small group. In early May, just earlier this month, Eleanor spoke, and she continued the series with witnessing our love for each other within small groups. So today I want to finish that whole series, four-part series, by outlining our responsibilities to God and to each other through using spiritual gifts that we've been given. So a lot of my talk is really to do with the spiritual gifts and how they apply. Look, I strongly recommend that you and encourage you to have a listen to the three audios that have already been recorded on our website. So you can go to our website, the Fairfield Baptist website, go to Ministries, go down and select audio, and then you can choose the three. It'll only take you about an hour and a half of your time for the week and be well worthwhile. A few years ago, gosh, this is quite loud, isn't it? Is it not too loud down the back? Okay. A few years ago, I had the pleasure of going to a conference, a men's conference up in Auckland, and it was called Promise Keepers. Now, one thing that we did, and I'd like to replicate it here if we can, is that when we read through the Holy Word of God, we stood in respect. Now, if you'd like to do that today, I'm going to get somebody else to read Ephesians chapter 4. If you'd like to stand and join with me. Thank you. And at the end of the reading, we can sit down again. I'm not sure who's reading this for me. I think it's David Suchet Poirot. I think you'll enjoy his voice. Have a listen.
Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
May God bless that holy reading. Please be seated. Thank you. Our passions, I'll talk about passions to start off with, they grip us. They excite the imagination. They define who we are, because our passions are the things that we care about most in life. For those that know me, you'll probably know that I'm quite passionate about playing music. And I'm especially passionate about some of the older hymns, classic hymns. What are you passionate about? What do you care most about in life? Well, I hope you've got passion for what you do, because each of us is originally gifted from God, and every perfect gift is from above, says James 1:17. All of us, whether we're Christian or not, are products of a great and giving God. One author said, "You are a unique and irreplaceable blend of interests, experiences, abilities, passions, and talents." I don't know whether you've heard of Zig Ziglar. I think he was one of America's favorite sons in the sales area. He was also a great author, a motivational speaker, and a Christian. And he once said, "You are the only person on earth," think about it, "you are the only person on earth who can use your ability that you've been given." It's amazing, isn't it? I would add that we are the last living witnesses of a world that no longer exists. Think about that for a moment. Our time is running out to be effective Christians while growing together in Christ. You were born a special, gifted person, but if you're born again, the Bible says that you're also given a gift of service, making it possible for you to serve Christ by serving the church. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, you may be totally unaware of your gifts. Not everyone is passionate enough to discover or even develop their special gifts. Still, someone said that your talent and ability is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Yeah, great. And as we continue, we'll see how God equips each person in the body of Christ with a special gift essential to the health and growth of the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, we read of God's provision. "But to each of one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." The first six verses that I read through, no, I didn't read it. David Suchet read it for me. But the first six verses address the unity of the body. Verse 7 begins a section about the diversity of the body. Now, diversity and unity, they belong together. I know that sounds a little bit like an oxymoron, but it's made up of many people with different gifts who come together in unity for a central purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6 is a key passage. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." We are in unity, and yet we have diversity. Our differences provide unity, because it's all in the name of Christ. Each of us are given spiritual gifts when we are saved. A spiritual gift is a divine ability given to Christians for the purpose of glorifying God and serving each other. Spiritual gifts aren't necessarily the same as the talents or natural abilities that we're born with. We receive spiritual gifts at conversion, not at birth. And once we're Christians, God gives us a special ability of ministry. It often goes with our natural ability, but sometimes it's totally different. The New Testament identifies, I think, about 19 spiritual gifts, and every Christian has at least one. Some are gifted with more. God gives us gifts along with grace. Verse 7 mentions the grace. It says, the grace of God is sufficient for the gift that we've received. The more gifted God has created you, the more grace you need to exhibit those gifts in the spirit of humility. We need to remember that God promised to lift up the lowly and bring down the proud. It would be terrible to see gifts being used without grace. Handle your gifts with grace. We will either humble ourselves before God or he'll humble us. Let's have a quick look at the purpose of God's gifts. We're going to look at the gifts for the foundation of the church. The foundation basically, of course, goes back a couple of thousand years. In verse 11, Jesus gives us the foundation of the church, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets. Apostles, of course, refers to men who were commissioned by Jesus to preach the gospel and plant churches. And Mark chapter 3 and Acts chapter 9 are good references to follow up that on. Also, those who had witnessed the resurrection, that's in Acts chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9, or who had the ability to perform signs and wonders, 2 Corinthians 12:12. Oh yes, I've got those there. If you're taking notes, you can look up those references later. Today there are no apostles because they were given to the church for its foundation. It was necessary because the scripture wasn't complete. Prophets were spokesmen or mouthpieces for God. They spoke the word of God and foretold the future. Apostles and prophets were foundational gifts to help us get started. And their ministry ended when the New Testament canon was completed a couple of thousand years ago. So a couple of thousand years later, we're still not working on the foundation of the church. It's already founded. The foundation of the church is the Word of God. Apostles in the New Testament, prophets in the Old Testament, they make up the Bible, and we teach it because it is our foundation. Let's have a look at the gifts for the formation of the church. Jesus also gave gifts for the formation to be evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I think that comes in verse 11. In the New Testament, evangelists preached the gospel like Philip in the book of Acts. They were divinely equipped to win the lost. He also gives us pastors and teachers. Pastors guide and feed the flock, counseling and encouraging believers. Teachers are gifted to interpret and explain what the Bible says. Neville's very good at that too, and so is Eleanor and a few others in this church. Verse 12 is often misunderstood though. It says he gives evangelists and pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it's often read incorrectly to mean that the pastor does all the work of the ministry. But the verse is constructed like this: for the equipping of the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry and edify the body of Christ. Pastors teach and equip the people in the church so that they can take up the mantle and do the work of the ministry. That's how a local church flourishes. Churches grow from inside out through the giftedness of the people who are in the church. We'll have a look at several points of God's gifts. Paul looked at how spiritual gifts impact the church as a whole. So the first one is the unity that was mentioned in the first seven verses. And in verse 13, Paul said, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith God has poured his spiritual gifts into the church so that the church will have unity. Faith is the scripture, what we believe. When we join together, placing scripture at the centre of our faith, we can find unity. Second one is intimacy. It also produces intimacy. Verse 13 says, of the knowledge of the Son of God. The word knowledge means having a deep, ongoing knowledge of a person. We're to give ourselves with intensity to knowing Jesus Christ. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him in a personal way. And that can happen through Bible study and prayer, small groups. When the church functions as he has designed, with everyone doing their part, everyone gets to know Jesus better. And when you use your gift to serve him and commit yourself for his glory, you'll feel united with him and grow in your understanding and knowledge of the Lord. He won't just be your saviour, he'll be your friend. Yeah. Number three, the maturity. Paul concludes verse 13 by reminding us that we're reaching to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God wants those in the church to mature, to be like Christ. He wants us to see progress in our spiritual walk. If we get involved in serving him, we'll be able to look back and see progress. It's just what happens. Just remind you that the first screen that we had up is growing together in Christ. Not growing on your own in Christ or stagnating together in Christ, but growing together, supporting each other. By a perfect man, he means to be mature, not sinlessly perfect. You can't be a mature Christian if you're not serving the Lord. People who come to church but never serve anyone, they become caught up in their own needs. Some might even say, oh, I don't go to that church anymore because my needs are not being met. They need to be asked, whose needs are you meeting? Our needs are met by meeting the needs of others. And that's where small groups and coming to church and belonging to the family here is all about. Number four, stability. Exercising spiritual gifts in the church is important for stability. Notice verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every whim of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to get us off our path. God wants a mature church made up of believers who will not get sucked into every new cult or ism that comes along. Satan uses the trickery of men. Trickery in Greek is the word kubia, K-U-B-I-A, and translated into English, I guess, could mean cube. Paul's reference there, I think, is to loaded dice. Satan's got loaded dice. He'll try to deceive you. He works with deception and trickery, and there are people out there using loaded dice in a spiritual sense, seeking to draw people away from faith through cunning craftiness. You know, we've had a series of discussions about putting on the whole armour of God to prepare yourself about protecting yourself from that. When you exercise your spiritual gifts, you embody his truth in your life. You're serving others, determining how best to build the body of Christ from the inside out. You build stability, keeping you from being the devil's victim. And it's a reminder that we need mature, stable church members to resist his efforts. Finally, out of this list, authenticity. Using your gift allows you to experience authenticity. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Authenticity is speaking the truth in love. Our enemies use trickery and cunning. But we're called to be authentic. Someone has said truth without love is brutality, and love without truth is hypocrisy. Well, we need both truth and love in balance. Previous generations in the church emphasized truth rather than love. Have you been around such people? You know, I've heard someone say, I've got the truth from God's word and I don't mind, I don't care how much it cuts you. The reality is that truth without love becomes destructive. Recently, the greatest danger has been emphasizing love without truth. Today, we live in a culture defined by tolerance towards everything except truth. We live in a world that wants everyone to accept everything and love each other, but to do that, we have to focus on your truth or my truth, and we reject God's truth. You can't have love without truth. That's hypocrisy. The Bible is the standard for absolute truth, and God poured out his gifts on the church so that we can speak in truth. Let's look at the potential. As we lean into our gifts, the church will grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And that's verses 15 and 16. Our local church grows from the inside out as our people here mature and exercise our gifts in building up others. Notice the words growth and edifying in verse 15, 16. When we grow, it's not just growth in numbers or baptisms in the church. It's inward growth of our spiritual lives as we walk with the Lord. If you're a believer and you're growing in Christ, you won't be happy if you aren't using your gifts to help advance the body of Christ. Each of us should use whatever gift we have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as Christians, we are entrusted with the free gift of eternal life, and we are tasked with sharing that message with others. However, many Christians keep their faith to themselves. Following Jesus was never meant to be a solo journey. You know, there's a Facebook, the latest screen, I think, on our church Facebook page, which talks about being together. And I think, I don't know how long that's been there, but when I saw that yesterday, I thought that's ideal. Works in very well with this morning. Never meant to be a solo journey. We grow deeper in our understanding of the gospel when we engage in authentic relationships with others who are walking in the same path. Small groups, Bible studies, honest conversations with Christian friends, all of these help us to see every good thing that we share more clearly. If you want to better understand who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life, don't try to figure it out alone. Open your Bible with someone. Ask honest questions. Pray with a friend. You'll find that partnership in the faith isn't just helpful, it's powerful. Corrie ten Boom has been mentioned, I think, last week. When she said, when a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. Very true. I've just got some takeaways to take away. And while we're looking at the takeaways. If you want to be part of a small group, add your name to the clipboard and take one of those sheets that's on the table at the back. Or come and see me, or come and see Ross, or come and see anybody in the office. The takeaways, as we've got here, number one, God is a great giver of all gifts. And spiritual growth is a shared journey. Yeah, it's a shared journey where we exercise God's God-given spiritual gifts. Spiritual maturity happens in small groups where relationships are built. And they're strengthened there, and it does not happen in isolation, which is quite why I mentioned back to my first screen that we are growing together in Christ, not growing alone. Sunday services combined with small group attendance is the best journey that you can have. I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gifts of natural abilities and talents that we were born with. I especially thank you for the spiritual gifts that you've given us to glorify you and serve each other. I thank you for the greatest gift of all. You gave us your own Son to bring us back to yourself. In our place of worship here at Fairfield Baptist Church, help us to use our spiritual gifts from you by serving others and growing together in our faith. Encourage us, Lord, to unite together and strengthen each other through our Sunday services and especially our small groups. Lord, bless each person here who has heard your message to us this morning. And I pray this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.